1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for the first Premiership action in a fortnight. Rangers are looking to end a losing and goalless run when they host Dundee United. But what team will Giovanni Van Bronckhorst pick? Ange Postecoglou is praising Greg Taylor's recent performances ahead of the trip to St Mirren. And Hearts get their Europa Conference League up and running with a 2-0 win in Latvia. Joining me tonight, you've got Stephen McGowan and Kenny Miller. Kenny, another extremely busy night. Couple of nights, I should say, in Europe, and straight back to the domestic stuff this weekend.
It is a bit of a mixed bag of the results. Definitely an upturn in performances. I think Celtic again performed very well, probably should have won. Rangers performed way, way better than they did against Ajax last week. Game was right in the balance until the sending off, and Hearts with a fantastic result last night, getting 2-0 away from home. So teams kind of up and running in Europe. Disappointment obviously for Rangers, the third defeat in the row. But tomorrow, domestic action. It's 2 weeks' time. Big games. A lot of big games for different reasons. Important results. Managers under pressure. But back to the domestic scene tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
You're never a dull day in Scottish football, Stephen.
Rangers looking to avoid losing 4 in a row for the first time since 1985. So selection headaches for Gio Van Bronckhorst. And the same for Ange Postecoglou, who has to decide whether to stick a twist for the players who dug out a point against Shakhtar Donetsk.
And everyone here will unite, I'm sure, and agree that it's great to see Hearts carrying the coefficient hopes of the nation.
Is that going to catch on? So
that's
them adding to the coefficient points now with that result last night. So it's not just Rangers and Celtic that have contributed now. It's Hearts can throw their hat into the ring for that as well.
Good to see it, wasn't it? Look, we can debate whether, you know, the reasons for this, but the cold hard facts are, we don't get teams out with Glasgow getting points in European group stages very often, and it happened last night.
Yeah, and they were great. You know, I mean, I was really impressed with Hearts. I think it was for about an hour of the game against Zurich in the playoff to get into the Europa League. They were excellent till I think it was Grant got sent off. They were superb. Should have been 1-2 up easy in that half, that 55 minutes of football. So, but they're, I've said it many times on the show, I like the way Hearts go about their business. They're not in the greatest running form at the moment, but last night they turned that around with a big away win in Europe.
With respect to my learned friend from Edinburgh beside me here, I mean, it's a big bugbear of mine actually, is Hearts, Hibs, the Dundee clubs and Aberdeen not really pulling their weight in Europe. So that was a real novelty last night, and it was excellent to see for Scottish football.
Come on down, 01419511025. Good to have Premiership games tomorrow to look forward to. It's hard not to view them through the lens of the Champions League as well, though, isn't it? So, Rangers fans, I suppose we're looking at you first because, well, you're first up, aren't you, out of the top two in the league at home to Dundee United. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the game tomorrow on the back of midweek? You know, what level of pressure is there? Is this an ideal fixture? Kenny was obviously watching the game closely against Napoli, as he often does, so you can pick his brains. And what type of team will Giovanni Van Bronckhorst pick? He made five changes during the week. He went back to the so-called old guard. No new signings played. Alan McGregor played in goal, albeit John McLaughlin was injured. What does that mean going forward? Does Alan McGregor stay in, or once John McLaughlin's fit, does he come back and take the number one spot tomorrow? And anything else you've got for us, pick up that phone and let us know, because I know you've had a rough week, to say the least, with the recent results, as Kenny points out. So come on, 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Kenny, I was going to say, how important is the game tomorrow for Rangers? It's a fairly obvious answer, I would imagine.
It's three defeats in a row, 11 goals without reply. It's absolute imperative that Rangers win the game tomorrow and win it well. The performance on Wednesday night was far better until the sending off, and I must say, I thought Sands, it was a sending off, I'll say that, but it was very, very unlucky the way it kind of panned out with Simeone going through, and the ball was all over the place. He wasn't in full control of it, and ended up obviously losing the penalty in the second yellow. But it's massive that Rangers win tomorrow, because four defeats in a row for the first time, as Stephen says, it's the first time since 1985. That's not good form at all, and that's the kind of form that brings real scrutiny and under Gio's position. So it's massive for them. The team wise, I don't know if you'll see too many changes for the other night, to be honest, because I thought they performed really, really well. There may be one or two because that's what you've got your squad for, but when you're searching for a bit of form, chopping and changing when you found a formula that has that works is not really the answer. But they'll not start with the back five tomorrow, that's for sure. So it's how whether you can get that same players in the team to play their 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, if you want to call it. I think they can, because Scotty can just move forward and John Lundstrom can step up into midfield.
Right, let's whisper this, Stephen, so that producer Callum doesn't hear us and he get very upset. As a Dundee United fan, on paper, this is not the same type of fixture that Rangers have just played in the last three games.
No, I mean,
he's not looking right. He's fine. He's doing something else. It's not that, and that's no offence to anyone at Dundee United. It should not be the same challenge. If you're Giovanni van Bronckhorst, is that a sigh of relief? Is that a good thing, or does that then bring its own pressure? Because there's certainly no room for, for excuses amongst the Rangers fans.
Well, it brings a pressure in so much as Dundee United lost 9 goals to Celtic a couple of weeks ago. So people always compare Celtic and Rangers. So Rangers will be expected to put on a show against a team who are managerless, interviewing candidates for a job next week. United have rallied a little bit. I mean, I went to the Livingston Premier Sports Cup game where they put in a unexpectedly good performance after Jack Ross left, which raised questions of his own. Then, of course, they get the draw against Motherwell last weekend, although I think your man Van Veen should have scored a couple, shouldn't he? Certainly a penalty. But if you were picking a game for Rangers to try and bounce back, this is the one you would pick. The team bottom of the league, at home, without a manager, and they need to win this because the next two, as Kenny alluded to, Hearts away and Liverpool away, they need to win this.
It goes without saying. I mean, there is pressure on it, because what I would say about the Rangers' domestic performances this year have not been good enough. It's as simple as that. I mean, Kilmarnock, it was stodgy at times. Like, it wasn't really a mouth-watering game. It wasn't a great performance. I even think St Johnstone, as much as it was a good win, it wasn't a brilliant performance. Livingston, obviously, you get the job done on that pitch. Hibs, there's a drop point. So I think just domestically, Rangers have not hit any real heights. Ross County, they were very good. That was the week before the Old Firm game. But you've seen what happened the next game week. It never carried on into the Old Firm game. So they need to play better, that's for sure, because Dundee, they'll go there, they'll be organised. I mean, they're winless. If Liam Fox has got any aspiration of getting that job, what an opportunity to go and put a point, even a point on the board at Ibrox would be a massive result for them. So it should be routine, but as we know in Scottish football, it never is. So
you can correct me if I'm wrong. I've not seen a fitness update on John McLaughlin. No? Anyone? Don't think Giovanni van Bronckhorst did the traditional sort of pre-match press conference
I just
today.
I saw something online saying that a reasonably clean bill of health. But I mean, surely Alan McGregor has to keep his place.
Is it as simple as that?
No, I don't think it is.
Really?
I think it should be, but I don't think it will. Had this been Alan McGregor last year, who was missing a game or two of suspension or injury, I reckon Alan McGregor comes straight back into the team. So if Giovanni's made the decision that John McLaughlin is the number one, then unless his mind's been changed based on a performance, which for me probably should be, then it'll be interesting. You know, it will be, because I think it could go either way. I think everybody watching that game on Wednesday would have seen the quality that Alan McGregor's got, and it's undoubted. We discussed it. It's only 3 months ago that they were playing a European final, and he was a goalkeeper in between the sticks. So I don't think he deserved to be on the losing team. He definitely didn't deserve to be on the end of a 3-0 defeat the other night with the performance he put in. But it will be really interesting to see, because could go either way.
Well, there's one for you, Rangers fans. We'll split that question into two. And by the way, we're having to assume here that John McLaughlin's fit. I don't think we know for sure either way, but let's talk hypothetically. If they're both available tomorrow, who should play in goal, and who do you think will play in goal? Because those are two different things. Kenny's saying it should be Alan McGregor for him, but he thinks if both fit, the manager would, you think he would pick John McLaughlin?
I don't know. I think that's the question. I don't think he is going to be fit, by the way. I think he will be out.
That's already.
But we don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is still an interesting point for debate until you get, concrete news one way or the other.
Well, it's going to come. It's going to come sooner or later, because he's not going to be injured forever. And by all accounts, it's not a massive injury. So it might be back after international break. So the same question will be posed then.
It just feels like it's a good time for Rangers to go back to basics. Go back to Alan McGregor, go back to Scott Arfield, go back to Stephen Davis. I mean, there was a bit of kind of negative comment about 9 players who who've been at the club for more than 3 years, being in the starting lineup against Napoli. Didn't prove a bad thing, because you know you can trust these guys because they've been the course, they know what's required, and that's what Rangers need just now. They need players they can trust, that the manager can trust, to pull them through a tricky spell.
Let's bring in Brian, who's a Rangers fan. What do you think on that point, Brian?
My point is, Alan McGregor should be the number one. John McLaughlin should never be anywhere near number one status at Ibrox. They shouldn't lace Alan McGregor's boots. Alan McGregor's still superior, and it breeds confidence in the defence. We're unlucky on Tuesday, they're Wednesday. We're unlucky on Wednesday, but up to the point we lost a player to the fellow Peter Rubat, but the defence believes in Alan McGregor, and that's probably steady as shut them on. And I think there'll be a change in the defence tomorrow. Ben Davies will start in place of James Sands.
Stephen, you're the wordsmith here. I think we need to update that for goalkeepers. Brian says he couldn't lace his boots. Can we go for couldn't Velcro his gloves or something? You know what I mean? Just to make it goalkeeper specific. Does that work? Is that going to catch on? I'm not sure. We can we'll maybe argue amongst ourselves at the break over that one. What about tomorrow? I mean, Brian, I'm not sure if we could put a percentage on it, but I feel like most Rangers fans probably do still think Alan McGregor's the better goalkeeper.
Yeah, I actually feel for McLaughlin, because I remember there was a mixed zone for journalists to interview players after the USG game. And he came through and he spoke really well about knowing fine well what the supporters think, what they feel. I mean, he was always on a hiding to nothing, trying to replace a genuine club legend. It was never going to be easy. And I think he knows, and he knew, that people were waiting for him to slip up, so that Alan McGregor could come back in. So I felt sympathy for him in that. But equally, you can't get away from the fact that Alan McGregor's a better goalkeeper. That has to be the nuts and bolts of this. And in the current climate and the current situation, they need the best man on the pitch. And I think even at his advancing years, Alan McGregor is still a match-winning goalkeeper potentially for Rangers.
Kenny, the beauty of this is you can't compare it exactly, because goalkeeping is so specific. You know, it's just you, and you're always competing against that other guy. But you know, when you were playing, if you got an opportunity because someone was injured and you went in and scored a hat-trick, which might be the striker's equivalent of what Alan McGregor did the other night, I mean, are you expecting to keep your place, or do you still sometimes know that you're just not the first choice and one game's not enough to change that?
No, I think it is different. I think it's completely different for outfield players and a goalkeeper, and maybe it shouldn't be. But I think when you're structuring a squad as a coach, you've got your goalkeeper you want to play, and then you're looking for a capable backup. So like, that's why I think it'll be interesting to see what happens, because if the same situation happened that you gave there, I come in for Chris Boyd, for instance, and I score a hat-trick, I stay in, I think, because I don't think you've got a number one, number nine.
Okay.
You know, whereas with the goalkeeper, because it is that specialised position, there is normally a number one and there's a backup. And if the number one's out for suspension or injury or whatever, then normally he comes straight back in after. But in these circumstances, absolutely agree with Stephen. Rangers are a better team when Alan McGregor's in. And I feel for John as well, because he's been put into that, and he's been at the club a few years now, and he's been put into the situation where he has got the jersey. But the reality is, you've got a man sitting there behind you who is always going to be, would Alan have saved that, or would Alan have done that, or what? He's always going to have that. Listen, he's dealt with it pretty well, to be honest with you, because the way he speaks, when you hear him pre and post matches, he speaks really, really well. He's aware of the situation. But the point I've always made on it is, you say now Rangers need their best players. You need your best players on that pitch every single game.
I always wonder, Kenny, and I've always wondered, when Alan McGregor agreed to stay on for another year, when we all thought he might hang up his gloves in the summer, did he know he was going to be the number two?
I would say no.
And would he have signed if he'd known that?
And that's
the question.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
Would say no.
I agree.
Because I genuinely feel that he thinks he still trains the same. Even Gio alluded to that.
He said he's the same person,
he said
didn't
the same
he?
Guy. He still trains the same. It was a different scenario to the Alfredo scenario. Because Alan McGregor will go on. I've known him for 15 years now, playing the club and country. Trains so hard, first in the gym, does his work, and he'll be the same now. He's meticulous in his prep, and even more so now in his later years, that he knows he needs to do it. So he is the same. Yes, he's 40. It's just a number. he's still making these big saves. I mean, they penalties, like, it's incredible, you know. But I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
You know, you watch it, the only thing I was surprised that he never got one in the Europa League, despite how good the penalties were. Mm-hmm. I still think he could have I still expected him to save one or two of them, you know. But he's the number one goalkeeper, and it'd be really interesting, which we'll never know, how much better maybe do the defenders feel when they've got him behind them. I think that's a big thing within the psychology of the team.
Just quickly, because Brian covered a lot of good ground, Stephen, to draw that distinction again about what you would do versus what the Rangers manager might do, is this where it becomes tough? Because you have to assume from the outside, until, I don't know, what, 4 days ago, John McLaughlin's his number one. He believes in John McLaughlin. He's publicly backing John McLaughlin. He's doubling down on John McLaughlin. And then he was injured, so that's not John McLaughlin's fault, presumably.
No, I mean, it needs a manager to say, you know what, put my hands up, my judgment was out, I got it wrong.
And that's tough.
It is tough. It's hard for a manager. I mean, managers, like everybody, have egos. They don't want to admit that they maybe got it wrong and made a misjudgment, but sometimes you just have to hold up your hands and do what's best for the team.
Brian, you mentioned something about Ben Davies. You hope he plays tomorrow. That's become a bit of a theme this week about, you know, new signings not featuring enough, and that then reflecting on the club's recruitment and so on. Is that important to you that these guys start to feature a bit more?
Well, maybe they'll have a wee hard look at themselves. Maybe they come to like the Rangers and the Celtic thinking that it's just a football club. It's not a football club. It's an institution. And I think they'll maybe say it's a little bigger than what we thought. It's not just a Blackpool or this. The fan base is phenomenal, and they maybe just need to take a wee step back and think, this is a real good football club, and then we've got to play hard to get into a team.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, look, there are, if you go through them individually, obviously some people are injured and have been injured and all the rest of it. I think generally speaking though, the Rangers fans have been more than happy to generalise this week and say no new signings in the starting 11. What does that say? That's something that does strike you, Kenny, or is that actually not that important?
Well, no, it's very important, because recruitment is massive in football, as you know. But it's what's bad is when you've got Davis, Yilmaz, and you've basically not seen. And it's been recruited in, I mean, a lot of money, I don't know, £8, £9, £10 million being reported on the left side of the defence, and they've not played, barely played a minute. So that's a concern. Tillman's played, and he's a lone player, and he's done pretty well in his early stages of his Rangers career. Lawrence has been doing pretty well, obviously he's injured now. Matondo, no sure yet. Just no sure about what you're going to get. So there's some have played, some have not. It's the ones that have not played. That's the reason I think the recruitment comes under a little bit of scrutiny, because that's the ones the money have been spent on. It's only really Colak that had money spent on him that has been a regular in the team. And that, you can say that's because Morelos was injured, but what he done is he grabbed his opportunity. You know, the other three guys, Matondo, Davis and Yilmaz, it was a decent chunk of change spent on, we've barely seen them. And the other three guys, Suter, obviously he's been injured, but he was a free. The other two, a lone player and another free transfer, have been the ones that have probably been the best signing so far.
What do you think? Let's thank Brian and bring in Dominic. There's a lot been said about Rangers recruitment. Dominic, I don't know, do you think is that criticism over the top, or are you agreeing with it? Dominic, can you hear us?
It's good evening, Gordon, Stephen, Kenny.
We've got you now, Dominic. So I was just saying, a lot's been said by your fellow fans about the recruitment this week. Is that fair, or is it over the top?
It's absolutely fair, Gordon. I was saying to Juicer Callum that I was at that. The recruitment's been absolutely shocking, because any of the players that Gio signed, they've barely kicked the ball, even the £6 million left back. The only one that's been a success, I'd say, is Colak, but his deal's not replaced the players, the likes of Aribo, Bassey, etc., since they left in the summer. It's been a pure downgrade coming into the Champions League, and I think that Gio's job will be untenable if we end up dropping points again tomorrow at Dundee United or get beat.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen, if we can go around circles all day, because some have played here, some have played there. What happens is Celtic comes along, Ajax comes along. That makes Napoli not quite do or die for Giovanni van Bronckhorst. It's not in that territory, but it became huge. And on that one night, he decided that it was all going to be about the guys that had featured before. That's the bit, because it was that game, it was that important, and it was all at once, and that's the bit people feel was really important.
But you're not talking about just one transfer window here, if we're being honest. I mean, really, you've had transfer windows. You look at Aaron Ramsey. January wasn't a roaring success either. The last three or four transfer windows have been pretty dubious, and it does raise questions about Ross Wilson. There are questions. I think there's scrutiny falling on his head as well. He brought John Park in to help, which I think was a good move. But, you know, ultimately, he is there to deliver the players for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst to get results. And I think what's been interesting is that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst hasn't offered any complaints, appears to be happy with his lot, you know, but is he really? You know, he doesn't really give much away, Gio, but, you know, you have to look at the players that have come in, and he delivered his own verdict the other night. But I think you touched on it earlier as well. There have been a bit of bad fortune with injuries, you know. Ben Davies was injured, John Souter, obviously. Tom Warnes, I think, would have been a starter.
He would have played, wouldn't he?
He would have played. You know, I think Tom Warnes has been really impressive. So there's been ill fortune, but the one thing you don't get at Celtic and Rangers is room for excuses. You're expected to hit the ground running, and that's that, really.
Yeah, again, because people had a bit of a whinge about Leon King coming on when Ben Davies was on the bench, Kenny. The manager said, well, you know, Ben Davies just coming back from injury.
It makes sense. Like, a lot of people were saying, oh, will he play tonight? There was no way, on Wednesday night, there was no way he was going to play on Wednesday night. You couldn't throw someone who's been injured for the length of time that Davies had and had the amount of football that he's had into a Champions League game where you really needed to try and get something for the game. Like, maybe tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Might be the time, you know, but I wouldn't surprise me if he isn't, I'll be honest.
Dominic says the manager's job would be untenable if they lost tomorrow. Again, we go back to it, and I hope no one at Dundee United thinks we're being disrespectful. It's just a very different challenge. It should be way more winnable, Kenny. With that in mind, Rangers fans, are they looking for a win plus VAT? Are they looking for something extra special tomorrow? Is that what it needs to start turning the mood around?
I just think,
or any 3 points do it?
No, I think, listen, any 3 points do, there's make no mistake about it. But when you're going to the game and you're expecting a performance, I mean, and managers talk about it, you know, it's not just about fans or pundits on shows. Managers talk about his performance first. Like, they look at the performance, and as long as they're performing, Andrew's talked about it again this week, talking about if they perform at the level that they have in the first two Champions League games, then they will start to win games. They should have won on Wednesday night. But Rangers need a performance. They need a good one. Yes, they need the 3 points, but they need to see a comfortable one.
Thank you, Dominic. 01419511025. It's a great time to pick up the phone, because if you do it right now, you could be up next.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller is here, Stephen McGowan as well, and it's 01419511025. Big games tomorrow. Hibs, Aberdeen, Livy, Kilmarnock, St Johnstone, Ross County. Of course, Rangers v Dundee United, so it makes sense to start there and then move on to Sunday, St Mirren against Celtic. Celtic fans, how do you feel? It just feels like you're all pretty optimistic about everything at the moment. So what are you thinking about that game? A bit of scope for rotation. We'll hear Ange Postecoglou's thoughts on that. It's not only the phones, you can tweet as well. And come on, you Hearts fans, it's bad enough when things aren't going your way and you're getting defeats in Europe, but a victory on the road, 3 points on the board in the Europa Conference League, it would be lovely to hear from you as well. So please do pick up that phone, 01419511025. Let's hear a bit from Borna Barisic. She says Rangers need to take the positives from Wednesday's defeat to Napoli when they faced Dundee United this weekend. He thinks they were much better than they were in the Celtic and Ajax games.
We have been much better. We had aggression. We had some style of play. Bring some things with our identity. But at the end, with 10 men, it's hard to defend, especially with the quality like Napoli had. So, yeah, we lost 3-0. We are very disappointed, I can say, but we can take some positive things. We need to now look at, in the future, have a very important game in the league, and we'll take some positive things from this and move on. This is the only thing what we can do now.
General football analysis tells you that it's tough to take positives from a 3-0 defeat, but once you bear in mind the level you're operating at, Kenny, and how disappointing the two previous performances was, is that the reality for Rangers, that there were actually positives in a 3-0 defeat, and they'll need to find them and use them and try and build going forward?
Of course there is. I mean, it's the same with Celtic the previous week. There was so many positives in their 3-0 defeat to Real Madrid. So you're operating at a level where if you don't take the moments that you get within that game, the reality is you're probably going to get punished. Celtic found out against Real Madrid where Celtic could have been 2-0 up. Rangers the other night never had quite that level of chances, but they were well in the game. The game was in the balance, and based on the two previous performances, I think everybody watching the game as a Rangers fan would have been right, you know what, at least we're better, at least we're competitive. We're not looking like we're going to get overrun every single time a team goes forward. So there was positives there, because until the sending off, the game was in the balance. Going into that last half hour of the game, anything could have happened, particularly with that crowd behind you. So there is positives there, but there's no escaping the fact that it is a third straight defeat, conceding quite a lot of goals and no scoring too many over that period.
In football, Stephen, sometimes you need to shift the mood, don't you? I mean, these phone lines have been really busy for a couple of weeks now, really, with Rangers fans pouring over individual performances in games. The players are getting it, the manager's getting it, director of football's getting it, recruitment is all there, and you need to just slowly start to turn that, I guess.
Any team can lose at Celtic Park. Any team can lose the Amsterdam Arena. There's no shame in that. It's how Rangers lost those games that was the problem. At least against Napoli, they showed something approaching a bit of spirit. You know, something comes over Rangers at home in Europe when they play at Ibrox. And it's transferring that into the domestic games, finding the same desire, the same appetite, the same hunger. And they will have to be at it from the off tomorrow, because, you know, we were just chatting off air there, and supporters might get on their back if they don't come roaring out the traps. And that's been a feature of Celtic's game, isn't it? They really come roaring out at opponents, try and blow them away early doors. It would make life so much easier for Rangers if they could get a couple of early goals, get the game out of sight by half time, and then maybe you could bring one or two players into it.
I think that these games can almost set the tone sometimes for the bigger games, Kenny, because the real pain and hurt for the Rangers fans comes because it's Celtic and then the Ajax and Napoli. But then does that give you a fresh look back at some of the so-called other run-of-the-mill Premiership games and realise, well, actually, do you know what, they weren't good enough. You know, might have won, but looking back on them, you need to start upping your performance levels in them, and that might take you into the tougher challenges.
But it's about building confidence in the job that you're doing. You know, like, so, I mean, again, you always have to look. The comparisons are always going to be there between Rangers, between Celtic. Celtic are flying, absolutely flying, all guns blazing, scoring a lot of goals, barely conceding a goal. And they go into these Champions League games with that momentum, with that mindset that we, you know what, we believe in what we're doing and we're going to go and do it. We're going to do it our way. Rangers have been kind of stumbling through the domestic games. Like I said, apart from the Ross County game, in my opinion anyway, I thought the other league games have been pretty poor. Nowhere near the level that they showed over the course of spells last year, particularly the European run. And if you go to even the year before, where you go through a whole season undefeated in the league, the levels are nowhere near those types of levels. So you're right, if you build momentum and you're kind of honing your skills against the domestic opposition, because you should be winning these games, both Rangers and Celtic. You, I mean, Gio was talking about budgets and the disparity between the finances. Well, Rangers have got that in Scotland, so they should be impressing that every single game and going out fast. Rangers try and start fast. It's no easy. I think there's been a real dip in confidence within their players, within, again, individuals, then within a team as well, even maybe a belief in some of their teammates. There's just something at the moment missing. But like you say, you need to draw a line under it, because if they don't start improving the domestic scene as well, the league could end up getting away from you. Forget the Champions League, it's great that they're back in, but you're playing against the elite. You're not expected to win all the time. You're expected to compete, absolutely, and for long spells of the game on Wednesday night they did against Napoli. But the domestic performances must improve.
Let's bring in Dave in Townhead and see what's on his mind. Hi, Dave.
Hiya.
How's it going?
All right. How's all the guys? Okay.
All good. Looking forward to the football tomorrow. What are you thinking?
Absolutely. Well, my point is the number of injuries at Rangers, and if you remember, when the American manager took over at Leeds, he had so many injuries, and he said that the training methods were incorrect, and he changed them all, and now he's got a full fit squad. So I'm just wondering, obviously Kenny will know a bit about training at Ibrox and whatnot, but this might be an issue.
What do you think, Kenny? Because remember last year Celtic got all these hamstring injuries, didn't they? Yeah. Loads, and it was the same type of injury. I actually thought, up to a point, Rangers had a good record on those types. You think of Tavernier and Goldson, and the guys are never injured. They're always there. But I mean, can you put two and two together? Because there are numerous players injured. Is it?
Well, I think when you look at Celtic's scenario, it was when the new manager came in and maybe did change methods, and there was a different kind of tempo or intensity and demand put on them every single day in training. Well, Gio's 10 months in the job now. I wouldn't think you would be seeing these types of injuries from the training now. All I would say is, again, when you are looking at certain players and you look at their records, sometimes it's players that are maybe not quite as robust as a Conor Goldson or a James Tavernier, and able to churn out these 50, 60 game seasons over and over again. It's maybe more the individual player, because I would be very surprised if it is the training based on Gio and his pretty much all of his coaching team being in the job now for almost 10 months.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Ben Davies, hasn't played a lot of first team football, has he? Yeah, John Souter, we know about his injury problems. So I think that's a good point by Kenny. I think, yeah, but you know, it's incumbent on the clubs to do their research and that stuff before they sign them. That's the thing. So you're taking a gamble with those players if they haven't played a lot of first team football. Trouble with gambles is sometimes you lose them.
Dave, it's tough without us knowing exactly what everyone's specific injury is and how they come about. But how do you feel overall about the team? There's been so much talk this week about the results, the performances, the recruitment, and how that feeds into it. What are you thinking ahead of this one tomorrow?
The performances haven't good enough, especially with playing midfielders into centre back positions. It just doesn't work, and that would be a scare scenario if you went to Anfield without a decent centre back alongside Goldson. The thing that bothered me was when Ken was talking there about Ross County, that's our best game in the league this season. But something obviously has happened between Ross County and going to Celtic. You know, all of a sudden, Tavernier, Goldson, Kamara, Kent, you know, they all didn't play. You know, I don't know what the reason was for that. And just the last thing there, if you're, what if this scenario happened with Alan McGregor, that he was definitely going, he was definitely retiring, and Gio pleaded with him to stay as number two, as a backup for McLaughlin? That's the only reason I can think that probably McLaughlin, McGregor's not been number one.
You two guys said you don't believe that was the case. You think he was there to, under the impression he would be number one.
My take on it is, and I've not spoke to Alan about the scenario since the start of the season or how it's actually played out, but what I did do, I spoke to him towards the end of the season to find out what his plans were. So he wasn't definitely retiring. I think it was well within his right to play it out and see how he felt, and even gave it a summer. I think he's earned that right that he could decide, and I think for him he decided, no, I'm going to miss it, you know, I want to play as long as I can. It was definitely my advice to him: you're where you want to be, you're performing at a level, particularly obviously through the European games, but in the domestic games as well. Yeah, he had a few errors that were uncharacteristic last season, but every goalkeeper does, every player makes mistakes. So he was still performing at an absolutely incredible level, elite level goalkeeper. So I think it was his intention that, yeah, I'll stay on and I'll play again. So it's whether he becomes the number one in the next few weeks, I mean, again, that's why I'm really interested to see.
Will he play tomorrow? Join us at 2 o'clock to find out. Thank you, Dave and Townhead, 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, you are hanging on Ange Postecoglou's every word at the moment. Well, you're going to hear quite a bit from him next, so why not pick up the phone and get involved? He's talking about squad rotation, he's talking about Greg Taylor and his attitude and improvement. So let's hear from you right now, please.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Stephen McGowan are here previewing the weekend's action. We've done a fair bit: Rangers, Dundee United, of course Celtic, St Mirren. Celtic's trip to St Mirren, I should say, is Sunday at 12 noon. We're going to hear from the managers on a number of topics. On the actual football itself, Ange Postecoglou has been praising Greg Taylor's attitude. He says it's the key to him getting better and proving people wrong. He's encouraged that most of the players in his starting lineup at the moment have their best years ahead of them.
He's improving because he wants to improve. You know, he's one of those players again who, you know, I think maybe in the past sort of people put in a certain box and sort of classified, but as a certain kind of player or has for a certain kind of level. But as I keep saying to all our footballers, is that, you know, that's up to them to change that perception with improvement in performance, in training, and everything they do physically, you know, mentally on and off the pitch. And Greg's one of those guys. He comes in every day wanting to be better, and he's been encouraged that, you know, he's seen the fruits of his labour. His performance is continually improving, and I think he's done exceptionally well for us so far this year, and including the Champions League games. But he's only 23, you know, and again, that's a real key to us as a football team at the moment. Is, as I keep saying, we want to have growth and we want to keep improving. You know, the beauty of that is if you look at sort of our starting lineup and a lot of the players who played, you know, on Wednesday night and are playing so far, is that, you know, their best years are very much ahead of them.
Right, come on, it's time to be honest. Who out there had Greg Taylor to be one of Celtic's key men in the Champions League group stages as their prediction 18 months ago?
I never really felt, unlike a lot of people, that Greg Taylor was that bad, actually. But I think there was this thing where you sign players from the Premiership, other teams in the Premiership, there's a bit of a sniffy attitude, isn't there? There's a kind of, he's an SPFL player. It's almost like a kind of second-class stamp. And it was unfair.
I like that, a second-class.
Yeah, but I mean,
it'll get the job done, but it's just not the preferred option.
You know, it's not as sexy and as glamorous as an overseas player coming in. So I always think sometimes players who are Scottish have to almost be twice as good because they are judged, you know, taken for granted, judged a bit harshly. But the improvement's been tremendous on Greg Taylor, and he deserves all the credit in the world, because I think when Celtic spent £3.5 million on Alexander Bernabe from Argentina, you would expect him to go straight in for that kind of money. And it hasn't happened. You know, the young guy probably needs a bit of time to adapt, but the biggest factor has been Greg Taylor's improvement under Ange Postecoglou. He's taken giant strides and he really looks a part. And, you know, he's a good lad from a good family in Gourock. And, you know, I think he deserves all the credit in the world.
Well, there's a man that'll know. Do you feel a bit of that then? When you go from Hibs to Rangers, do you feel you really need to prove that you can go to that size of club with, you know, whether it be foreign players or multi-million pound signings?
Well, definitely not as glamorous. I'd agree with that. I definitely would agree that you get treated a little bit harsher when things are not going well. It's very rarely the foreign players that get it in the neck. It's more the kind of local lads who should know better what these clubs are about. But Greg Taylor's been outstanding. I mean, I must say, in terms of people putting him in a bracket or doing this or that, I think the fact when you do sign a player for a lot of money, a young player at that, I think everybody just expected Bernabe to be that, eventually take over for that slot. But Greg Taylor's performances, he looks like he's really enjoying, by the way, all the Celtic players do, enjoying the way they're playing at the moment. Fully confident, he's adapting really, really well to the demands that Ange will be putting on him about playing the role slightly differently to maybe what he's played before. And his performance have been great. I mean, you're playing Champions League football now, and Greg Taylor's played Real Madrid, and he was superb. It's not as if they thought, you know what, Greg Taylor's at left back, we'll get the ball out to Valverde and get at him and get round him. And what? No, that wasn't there. It just wasn't there. His performances have been absolutely outstanding, and he's really adapted well to the way that Ange plays and that Celtic team is.
Maybe something Steve Clarke will take note of in the absence of Andy Robertson.
I did think the timing of the praise for Greg Taylor was a wee bit interesting with internationals coming up and that left-back slot being available.
We'll get to that next week. Ange Postecoglou also talking about there will be more rotation in his starting lineup, but probably once the international break is done. He said he was going to make changes last weekend, but obviously the game was postponed.
We've kind of been building towards something. Obviously, last weekend's game getting called off meant that, you know, there was probably a rotation in there for some of the players who haven't played, and, you know, we would have come out of this sort of first group of games with everyone getting some decent game time, but that sort of never happened. But we know after the international break, I think we've got 10 or 11 games in 34, 35 days, so we're going to need everybody, and you know, there's no doubt that the team will change through that process. And again, it's about having everyone ready. I think, like I said, we began that process. I mean, if you remember the Ross County game, I think I made 9 changes, and the level of our performance was excellent on the night. And, you know, we probably would have done something similar last weekend. So, you know, we're still gearing up to what's ahead, and what's ahead is that we're going to require, you know, real strong squad of players. And we won't be able to rely on sort of just, you know, 11, 12 to get through it.
Ken's on the line. It's only one more game before that break. Ken, does the same sort of team just keep its foot to the floor for now, or does Ange Postecoglou give a few guys a chance this weekend?
I would like to see him give some other guys from game time. You know, I'd like to see. I'm not saying any of these players have bad games and they should be taken off, but I think they should be given a rest. But like Anthony Ralston to come in, Bernabeu to give him that, given a chance, give Taylor a rest as well. Stephen Welsh, Moy, the Australian guy, Turnbull. I think they should all be given some game time because they are good players. But they just need the game time. And I think Abada should be back in the starting lineup against St Mirren as well. I don't think Haksabanovic was great in that position. Wee Forrest would have done better, I think. You know, but it's just a case of giving these guys, they're showing when they have been on in the Champions League games that they can play, and they are good players. And I just think they deserve a chance to get some game time in and rest some of the players who've been playing basically every game so far this season.
Stephen, the drama that sometimes comes with heavy squad rotation, is it not there at Celtic anymore? Can it just be done with minimal fuss like we saw at Dingwall a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you've got to think, international break coming up, do you just, as you said, keep your feet in the pedal, do you just keep going with what you've got? Or do you change it around? I have a feeling, I think as Ange Postecoglou said, he would have made changes at home against Livingston. I think he might just meet one or two tomorrow. But yeah, you look at it, you've got the Abelgaard who's signed, you've got Haksabanovic, you've got Aaron Moy, Giakoumakis, Abada, Forrest, Ralston, Welsh, Bernabe, you know, Benjamin Seagrave still. They're all going to be wanting games, they're all going to be wanting time. Just a case of when you do it. And I don't know if Sunday is quite it with the international break coming up.
Ken, what else is on your mind tonight?
Well, I was also, as I said to the producer, that I'd like to say that as a Celtic fan and as a normal human being, that I found that the banners that were unfurled at the start of the game were totally uncalled for, totally out of order. If the individuals are identified, they should be getting banned. We've got to remember that regardless of your feelings on the royal family, this is a family who have lost a mother, a grandmother, a very close friend to a lot of people. And the family, regardless of their status in the country, deserve to have some respect. I mean, I'm sure these fans that put this banner out, if it was their mother or their granny, they wouldn't want any disparaging stuff said about them, yet they think it's time to do it because it's such a public figure.
Yeah, we mentioned last night the news that UEFA would look at disciplinary proceedings on that. Of course, the story's developed a bit today because there's going to be a scheduled minutes applause before the game between St Mirren and Celtic. Stephen Robinson said he'd hoped fans of both sides would be respectful of the moment. Ange Postecoglou was asked if he had a similar message for Celtic fans, and here's what he said in response.
I have the same message to our fans that we always have, and we've always, as I said before the game, we abide by the protocols. We wore black armbands on Wednesday night. I think there's a minute's applause. We'll abide by whatever obligations we have and responsibilities we have as a football club. We'll do that in a respectful manner. We want our supporters to do the same. I'm not going to speak on behalf of anyone else's supporters. I'll look after our own club and our own supporters. And like I said, we'll do whatever is required, as we have so far, I think, in a fairly respectful way as a football club.
I mean, Stephen Ken's a Celtic fan. He didn't like what he saw regarding the banner. He talks about, you know, fans being banned, which I can already imagine sparking then a big debate about, you know, what is free speech and what's not, whether you like it or not, and what, you know, what caveats come with free speech. It's a fairly complex issue. But Ken's actually, he's just going in the simple view as a, for him as a human being, he wouldn't have done it. He doesn't like it. But we're now on to this minutes applause at the weekend and what that will bring. And what did you make of Ange Postecoglou's response there?
Well, I'm with Ken. I've never personally found it difficult to stand for 60 seconds in a football stadium quietly, irrespective of what I think about somebody politically or personally. I think I feel for Ange Postecoglou in this situation because he is a football manager. He's not the moral or social conscience of Celtic, but he's facing those questions today, and he's expected to put up and speak about it. Well, surely that should be the job of the directors of the football club. Now, I accept it. Whenever Celtic say they can't really win because they could alienate their own supporters if they do say something, but by not saying something, then if it all goes off on Sunday, let's be honest, there's a pretty fair chance it will, then they'll be accused of hiding. And, you know, maybe you could say it's a no-win situation, but sometimes you just have to do the right thing. You know, sometimes you have to say things that your fans are going to find out. Let's be honest, the Celtic board are not popular with supporters at the best of times. Is it really going to make any difference? The problem we've got now is if there are problems on Sunday, people will say they said nothing. They kept quiet. They buried their heads under the parapet.
Mm.
That's not a good look.
Thomas is in East Kilbride. What's your thoughts, Thomas?
I totally agree with that caller that was on there 2 minutes ago. I was absolutely sick watching that, seeing the banners up. It was totally burnt my stomach, being a Celtic supporter, watching that. Just, I mean, that call was right on the point. I mean, what if it was your mother or the grandmother? Totally down to earth. Just, I mean, I was totally sick watching it, seeing that. I've never seen that in my life. I mean, she was well respected. Yeah, she died in Scotland, so why are they?
Yeah, I mean, this is where I'm not meaning to be too flippant about what is obviously a serious situation, Stephen. Hope it doesn't come across that way. But this is what Scottish football does, where the notion that Clyde One Super Scoreboard can be the platform to quickly fix complex issues around free speech, the structure and future of the monarchy, and various. I mean, I can see Kenny Miller sort of sitting back in the corner. You know, you're going from talking about 4-4-2 versus 3-5-2 and Celtic's inverted fullbacks to what free speech means, what it doesn't mean, and what people's thoughts on the monarchy are. So
it's a part of the world we live in.
Do your best question time.
It's a part of the world we live in where, whenever you have the loss of a head of state, whenever you have the loss of a pontiff, or a prince or whatever, then it becomes a political football. And I don't particularly understand why it has to come into football grounds, to be honest with you. I don't really see the relevance of a lot of what we see in Scottish football grounds. But the one sure thing is that the more the likes of myself or us or anybody else discusses it or tries to condemn it, the more defiance there will be. And I think, you know, you see guys like Jeremy Kyle jumping in, you know, and you know, that is almost like offering, you know, sauce to people who want to defy. And there really is nothing we can say other than that really they should leave that stuff at home for me.
It's that time of the night. Thank you, Thomas. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Let's stick to what you two are really good at. Been hopeless at Beat the Pundit. 01419511025. The lines close at 7 o'clock. So if you think tonight is your night and you want to go down to the pub or wherever you hang about this weekend and show off your bragging rights, now is the time. Get in touch and you could try and beat the pundit next. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stephen McGowan and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. It's Friday night. That means all eyes on the Premiership, the Championships, League 1 and 2 and beyond tomorrow. In fact, there's Scottish Cup games this weekend as well. I think we even start tonight in round 1. So lots to look forward to there. Pick up the phone, please. The show's not the same without you. So what are you thinking ahead of the weekend? Whether it is Celtic's trip to St Mirren, whether it is Rangers trying to get back into winning ways and scoring ways against Dundee United, or something else entirely, now is the time to pick up the phone. 01419511025. Hearts fans, come on, celebrate with us. But this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Hate to break it to you, but see whatever insightful analysis and comment you offer, either in the last hour or in the hour still to come, no one will remember it as much as they'll remember what happens in the next 90 seconds or so.
No pressure.
That's the way this show works. It's no secret on the show I've moved house recently. Frank, who is the man who's in charge of patching up anything that's gone wrong, he was in today and he said, I'll tell you what, last night was the best beat the pundit. It was just, I couldn't stop listening. Thought it was hilarious, and which is funny because I thought DL was a disgrace. Thought the way he treated the poor caller who lost, there was no grace involved at all. So I'd like to apologise again to that caller who lost. Brian, just don't lose tonight. That's my advice to you. Sound easy enough?
I'll try my best.
Good. And also, Brian, there have been no listeners who've won this week. So they call it a free hit, thinking. Exactly. The pressure's all on Stephen McGowan, who hates Beat the Pundit every time he's on. And Kenny Miller, who's getting used to it. In fact, you played Monday night, didn't you?
Yep.
And got the week off to a winning start for the Pundit. So heads, it will be Stephen. Tails, it is Kenny. And it is tails, it's Kenny. I'll pick it.
Marvellous.
Look at that, like the sigh of relief. Stephen McGowan can breathe again. Right, let's give Kenny some Clyde 2. And I'll explain things for you, Brian. It really is simple. Just 30 seconds. Answer as many questions as you can. And if you want to pass and move on, that is absolutely fine by me, okay?
No bother.
Right, top man, 30 seconds then on the clock. And your time starts now. Who will Celtic play in their next Champions League group match? Hold on. You still hear me, Kenny Miller? Ah, you can still hear me. Look at the honesty. He's waving his hands. Good on you. I like that. So you could still hear me. You weren't getting...
You were delayed. I was getting you in a delayed version.
Ah, right. Look at the, see the honesty. He could have just kept quiet there and heard all the questions. Probably still would have got them wrong. And the good thing is, if he was on a delay, he didn't hear me ask the first one. So good. Right, we'll start that again. This is the beauty of live radio, Brian. You get a wee flavour of the first question, but we won't hold that against you. Let's go. Who will Celtic play in their next Champions League group match?
Leipzig.
Which club did Stuart McCall leave to join Rangers in 1991?
Falkirk.
Who did St Johnstone appoint as head of football operations this week?
Pass.
Name the only SPFL team with a triangular club crest.
Oh, Ross County.
How many Scottish teams did Marvin Bartley play for?
Three.
Who plays their home games at the Billy Bowie Special Projects Arena?
Kilmarnock.
Name any current Scottish Premiership player with a Z in their name.
Don't know.
Okay, let's bring Kenny back. Kenny, can you hear us?
Sure can.
There's one of those questions that is trademark producer Callum. Friday night, just at it. My most hated type of question. I think that's why he puts them in.
Look at
the smug look in his face. Are you ready?
Yep.
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who will Celtic play in their next Champions League group game?
Leipzig.
Which club did Stuart McCall leave to join Rangers in 1991?
Bradford.
Who did St Johnstone appoint as the head of football operations this week?
Pass.
Name the only SPFL team with a triangular club crest. How many Scottish Premiership teams did Marvin Bartley play for?
Two.
Which side play their home games at this Billy Bowie Special Projects Arena?
Pass.
Name any current Scottish Premiership player with a Z in their name.
Xander Clark.
Okay. What do you think, Brian?
Oh, I think he's picked maybe one.
The club crest. Seriously, look at him.
Dear.
So arty, so adventurous. Two people in the office got that. I refuse to believe that. Was one of them Stephen Mill? Yeah. I mean, he's a Dunfermline fan. Yeah. Sorry to spoil the answer.
I got it. Yeah.
Would you have got that?
Yep.
Nah, you're sad like him.
I grew up in Dunfermline.
Oh, well, there we are. That's your excuse. Sorry to give the answer away. Who will Celtic play in their next Champions League group match? RB Leipzig. You both got it. Stuart McCall left who to join Rangers in 91?
I thought it was Everton.
It is Everton. None of you got it right. St Johnstone appointed who as head of football operations?
Gus McPherson.
Still 1-1. Spoiler, Dunfermline have a triangular club crest. Sleep well tonight.
See, I don't listen to the question. I thought you'd say
I said SPFL, yeah. But there we go. Marvin Bartley played for Hibs, Livingston, and that was it, Brian. So Kenny goes 2-1 in front. However, the Billy Bowie Special Projects Arena, you know, it as Rugby Park.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And it's Kilmarnock, and Brian got it. So Brian's level. Name any Premiership player with a Z in their name. I think you panicked, Brian. I think with a bit of time, you could rhyme me off a Dyson Maeda or a Moritz Jens. But you panicked. There's quite a few to choose from, and Xander Clark is one of them. A 3-2 victory. Kenny Miller, Brian, hard lines.
No luck.
Where's the glamorous, but he got the job done.
Yeah, good game, Brian. It was a good enough effort. Hard lines, good man.
Take care, thank you.
Well done, Brian and Moss End. Triangular.
Xander Clark
Christ.
Was genius. Genius, straight in there.
Would you have struggled on under pressure on that one?
I'd have blown up.
Red Van Yilmaz, Jack Fitzwater, There's a few in there.
And Xander Clark, obviously, yep, yeah.
Obviously.
Only need to name one.
Yeah, well done. Well done to the guys. And I'm afraid that's it. It's a clean sweep for the pundits this week. It breaks my heart, ruins my weekend. I'm going to be distraught until we give it another go on Monday. It's a 5 out of 5 for the pundits this week. Must do better next week, listeners. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. I'm still looking for you Hearts fans. Come on, don't think you're off the hook. I know we don't speak that often, but it would be lovely to hear from you, because it was a great result last night. Always good to see, well, any Scottish team actually going away and winning in European group stage competition, but particularly teams not from Glasgow, because it doesn't happen too often. So well done on that front. Obviously, I hope you're knackered and it takes its toll at Fir Park on Sunday, but that's an entirely different matter. Just a good result, wasn't it, Kenny? Deserved.
Brilliant result, well deserved. They have performed pretty well, I think, over the games they've played in Europe this year. So it's they've got a good squad, they can score goals. And again, it's in a more coefficient points for Scotland as well with that one. But what it does, it gets them right into the thick of the group. Chances to qualify, I don't see why not.
And do you know what's extra weird about this? The main thing that's coming my way on Twitter after last night's got nothing to do with the game. It's this sticker that's been made for Andy Halliday. Has this crossed your way? Stephen, you're too sophisticated to get bogged down in this stuff. Kenny Miller might just have made its way to your inbox. No offence.
It just popped up on an Instagram feed on Fit My Patter.
I can't really explain it. I don't know the origins, but at least 45 people have sent it to me today with requests that Hugh Keevan sings it at the weekend. So I'll see what we can come up with. Is it Robbie Williams is the song, isn't it? Producer Callum. Oh, he's pretending he doesn't know. I'm sure it is Candy. Yes, Robbie Williams. You think I'm singing it? You're
come on, give us that a go.
I think we'll do it tomorrow. Right, we'll try and convince Hugh. He'll be back off his holidays. And there's a sticker of Andy Halliday with the lyrics to the song. And of course, it's changed it. Rather than Candy, it's Andy. Hey ho, here she goes. Either a little too high or a little too low. Got no self-esteem and vertigo because she thinks she's made of Andy. I don't know. That's all. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know who made it, where it's even been stuck, but it's a sticker. And after all day long, people sending me them. Ali has now sent me, mate, if you're wanting some Halliday stickers, I can send them off to you, he says. Why not, Ali? We'll take them, absolutely. We'll stick some up in the studio. So there we go. I'll be giving him peace of my mind at Fir Park on Sunday if he plays. And if he's on the bench, that's even better, because he'll be closer. Let's go back to the phones. We'll bring in Stuart, who's in Coatbridge. Stuart, what's your point tonight?
Yes, my point is about Rangers. I would like to ask Kenny Miller this question. I know a lot about Rangers, and I know a lot of people on the board, and what I've heard, I think it's something to do with Douglas Park. I think the man, he's done a lot for the club. I think he's maybe had enough. He wants to, I think he's going to sell the shares to somebody, what I've heard. And also, I think if Rangers don't win tomorrow, I think the Rangers will go for deal.
Wow, hold on. Not only has Giovanni Van Bronckhorst been sacked, he's been replaced by Michael Beale already. This is remarkable. Quite a big if, though, Stuart. You've got a good chance of beating Dundee United, do you not?
I don't know. I just there's something just not right. There's something just not right in the last games. I mean, the last day. If Rangers do get beat tomorrow, that'll be the first time since 1982 they've lost 4 games.
Right, first point first then. You two can correct me. That Douglas Park bit sounds to me like rumour mill and speculation at this stage. Stuart may well have an inside info that I don't have. That's entirely possible. Anyone want to correct that?
There was a rumour again about maybe 10 days ago or so that the Parks were going to sell up to a Hong Kong consortium. You know, just did some basic checks, came back with a no. It's not the kind of thing somebody would tell you about anyway, let's be honest. You know, it's not a kind of business matter that they're going to discuss in a text message. But, you know, I mean, it's certainly somebody I spoke to said the Rangers board are pretty united just now. There's no real sign of that. But they're a club who keep things close to their chest, I think it's fair to say.
Kenny, Stuart's got it all mapped out. He's worried that they don't beat Dundee United. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst will leave and Michael Beale will come back in. I think clearly there's a lot going on there. Are we a bit early for that type of discussion?
Well, for a number of reasons, I don't disagree with the detail within it in regards to who could replace Giovanni, but I don't think even if they were to lose tomorrow, I don't think they would make the change at this time.
I'm going to guess you don't think they'll lose tomorrow anyway.
And they're not going to lose tomorrow. There's no way the Rangers will lose tomorrow.
You've been hanging about with Hugh Keevans too long. That was too emphatic.
But the Michael Beale shout's really interesting. He's obviously got a lot of admirers within the club at the moment, but for the job that he done under when he was working with Steven Gerrard. Again, a massive hand in the day-to-day work that Rangers done, and obviously winning league title and building a strong squad. It might just be too early in regards to where Michael's at the moment and his, but he is one that I can definitely see managing Rangers in the future.
I mean, they have a manager right now, Stuart. A lot of people are talking about, well, we heard Borna Barisic earlier, wants to take positives from the Napoli game. A lot of fans phoned in and said it was better and there was more fight. I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that you're not feeling any of those positives.
Well, the game on the night, I think Rangers played well, but I don't think the referee helped as well. He had a strict referee. I mean, he had a very, very good referee, but I don't get that when they played the penalty, right? I still kind of get around that rule, right? And they made them retake it. Is that, they were talking about it on the telly, right? That rule. How do you see that rule?
Listen to those dafties that were on the telly.
I know.
It's the same guy.
My take on it was, and it was through information, was I'm not even going to pretend to know what the rules on handballs or retake penalties or even offsides are these days. But my understanding of it was from a top flight goalkeeper in our league was that they had the VAR meeting this week, and if the encroachment was by the attacking player,
yep,
which it clearly was, mm-hmm, on the night because they got the advantage for the goal, then it would be a free kick to Rangers on the other night. That was what was sent to me. And that, again, when common sense, when you break down the rule and the actual chat around it, it makes sense.
I've taken this from IFAB, the body that sets the rules of football, Stephen, for those who don't know. And they've got a nice wee table, if you like, which shows you the outcomes, the scenarios. And it says that if the outcome of the penalty, so if there's an encroachment by an attacking player and the outcome is a goal, which, although the penalty doesn't go in, the outcome is still a goal, then the penalty should be retaken.
I find that an amazing
rule. You know what, and there's also, and that's just why it's not clear, Gordon, because the outcome of the penalty was not a goal.
Yeah, but nothing's clear.
And that's what we discussed on Wednesday night.
Yep.
Because the outcome of the penalty wasn't a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And there can only be encroachment if there's a save, yep, or it hits a post.
Yeah. And then the only other thing, I don't know if this has been made public, I don't suppose it would be, if there's encroachment by a defender and an attacker, also the penalty is retaken. Now, is James Tavernier in as well?
Yes, no, he is.
So again, that's the rule.
If
the outcome is a goal.
But the outcome wasn't a goal, and that's the whole thing. They've need to add the...
And in fact, did you know that if there's encroachment by a defender and an attacker, even if there isn't a goal, it's still retaken?
But you know, it's a bit like the debate about excessive force. Everything's subjective. Whatever you define as being, you know, how you what you said there, Kenny, the rules are, you know, there's always two ways of interpreting them. They're never absolutely crystal clear. And that's a problem. And that's going to be the problem for me with VAR.
But it still comes
down to human judgment and subjective interpretation of the rules.
But I mean, that player who encroached sticks the ball in the net, doesn't he? So that makes the outcome a goal?
No, for a penalty, it's not. That's an open play goal.
Maybe just change the rules then. Just say that if you save a penalty, you just blow the whistle and restart.
It just seemed to me, I mean, if he encroached,
and
if
gained an advantage.
If he in some way gained an advantage, encroached, and therefore was guilty of foul play, if you like, how can that therefore benefit Napoli? I don't get that.
You know what? As it turned out, it was immaterial, you know, but it could have been.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they go from scoring a goal though to then not having one and having to retake the penalty,
so that's not benefiting
Napoli.
Yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah.
So Napoli have a goal, right? They've got one on the scoreboard and then it's judged that he's...
Yeah, but they've got a goal because the guy encroached in the area.
So that's why you need to retake it.
No, that's why it's a free kick, because he's gained an advantage from the encroachment.
I agree with Kenny.
It's not me you're trying to convince.
Well, clearly I am. I'm clearly because you're throwing it back at the pundits.
The actual rule, though, that's all I'm doing.
Mr. Devil's advocate over there.
And by the way, look at us, and this is typical. As you've mentioned an important factor there, they retook it and missed. Right, yep. So this could have been a lot worse. That's the goal that knocks you, whatever.
Absolutely.
They missed the retake, and that's not ideal. And that's not even really you know, in terms of the referee getting a bit of criticism, did he get much actually wrong?
No.
I mean, we can debate rules or whatever on whether it should be in it, but did he actually get much wrong?
I thought the only thing he got wrong was trying to give Rangers a penalty at the end, actually.
Which got taken away.
I don't think he got much. I think there's just some referees of a manner that rubs people up the wrong way.
We were on air, obviously, during the game, and we obviously recognised the ref. He refereed the Champions League final a couple of years ago. He did Dortmund's visit to Ibrox.
He's a top ref.
So we Googled, and on his own Wikipedia page, he's described as quirky. And that just strikes the fear into why is a referee being described as quirky? What could it possibly mean?
We're not interested in his personality or how he is with animals.
No, we just want to see him get his decisions right.
Anyway, thank you, Stuart. 01419511025. Good time to call. You could be up next. I'll put a full time teaser to the guys as well.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen McGowan and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We are on Twitter as well, if you'd prefer that way, of sending your kindest, warmest regards over to the guys. Please do. And it's that time of the night where we also give the guys a full time teaser, which means you send the questions in and they try and come up with the answers. I like it because it means that you get to show off your footballing knowledge and basically watch them squirm between now and the end of the show. So that's fulltime@clyde1.com. It's fulltime@clyde1.com. I like this one, bit easier, not easier, but it's sort of current and relevant. Stephen McCara says, for every team in the Premiership, who was the most recent player to be sent off in the league? So for each team in the Premiership, who is the most recent player to be sent off in the league?
Morelos,
yes. You'll remember it was talked about once or twice on this show at Easter Road a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, I'll forget. Ryan Porteous.
You just throwing out guys that are generally...
That was a fairly safe bet.
He got sent off against Aberdeen. Was that last season, I think?
Yep. Gallagher for Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Declan Gallagher.
Decky Gallagher, yep. No?
No.
Oh.
There's another one then. The other Gallagher. Declan.
Same.
Anyway.
Same guy, different club.
Oh, same. Decky Gallagher for St Mirren,
yes.
Obviously.
Exactly. There we go. And it was against
Aberdeen. That's what I mean, yeah.
Okay, that's three. Listen, we'll get the rest. I'm just a bit of fun to keep us going at the end of the show. For each team in the Premiership, who is the most recent player to be sent off in a league game? Morelos, Porteous, and Declan Gallagher. You have got. Alright, we can leave it there. 01419511025.
Starfield?
It's not actually. No, it is not. Right, we'll leave it there. We can get back to that as the show progresses. We can see some calls coming in at the moment. Keep them coming. Whether it is, by the way, look, it's up to you. Rangers, Dundee United, we've been looking at that. We've got Celtic, it's trip to St Mirren on Sunday, at Motherwell Hearts Sunday as well. So we're back to being spread out a little bit. We were spoiled by having some busier Saturdays in the weeks that have gone by. Let's hear a bit from Stevie Robinson ahead of that game.
Yeah, I got asked previously about, you know, does it help that they played in Europe? I wouldn't imagine so. I'd imagine they got jets back and were probably back in Glasgow before I got back home to Kilmacombe. So, and whatever team Anne's puts out, I don't think it will make any difference whatsoever. You know, they've got players on the bench that are really, really good footballers. So I think we're prepared for whatever team that comes out. It will be a tough challenge and one we're very much up for. I think when you play teams of that calibre, you know you're going to spend a lot of time without the ball. So you have to be organised and disciplined. You know, it's not something we change loads with. We do play when we get the ball, but we do allow teams to have possession in certain areas of the pitch. So that doesn't overly change our approach. You just have to do everything you do a little bit better against the top sides.
As always is the case, Kenny, you sort of rule out the same rules if you're St Mirren. You need to be bang at it and hope Celtic are miles off it. Because of Celtic's squad size, does the midweek exertions come into it?
No.
Not at all?
No, not at all. Playing on Sunday, played on Wednesday, plenty of time to recover, big enough squad to deal with, a squad that's absolutely flying, high on confidence. Scoring goals for fun, no giving any away. It's going to take an almighty performance for if he's Stephen Robinson and St Mirren to get anything off his Celtic and stop that kind of juggernaut at the moment. It's Yeah, I mean, you can't say anything. I mean, the one thing's for sure, they're not going to go and play with that level of intensity and quality every single game. It's just virtually impossible.
Just law of averages at some point.
Aye, exactly. But at the moment, you just can't see that happen at this time, based on when they, Ange talked about it, they made 9 changes for the cup game, and the performance was like for like. They've got a strong squad. The guys who are coming in, if he does do any rotation, will be thinking this is their chance to grab a jersey. They've got some massive games coming up, Champions League games. Obviously, I think he says they've got that many games, or 10, 11, 12 games in 35 days. So he's got a lot of games coming up, but it will take a lot of things to go right if Stephen gets any kind of result out of that game.
I mean, there have been times where it's not been an easy place for Celtic to go and break St Mirren down, Stephen, but I don't know if this Celtic team probably feels a bit different to some of the others in terms of finding ways.
Well, thinking back to last December, during a really hectic period for Celtic, where they really struggled, and they went to St Mirren, they drew 0-0, and that was probably one of the weakest starting 11 you've seen for Celtic in kind of recent memory. And since then, it's night and day stuff. And go back to the point you made earlier about the depth of the resources they've got, where they can bring in guys like Abelgaard, Haksabanovic, Moy, Giakoumakis, Abada, Forrest, Ralston, Welsh, Burnaby. It's whether they cares to or not. But I think it's fair to say that the secret for Celtic and Rangers will be who goes away from home best and breaks the low block. Who manages to break them down? And there are going to be days where they're both going to come unstuck. I don't think Sunday's going to be one of them, I have to say.
Yeah, it is remarkable how things do change. Stephen says that was December 2021. It was just last season. It was not even that close to being a year ago, Kenny. The Celtic team that day, Scott Bain played, Liam Scales played, Ralston, Welsh, fair enough, still there, but not necessarily in the first team. Near Beaton, Tom Rogic is gone, Mikey Johnson played, Owen Moffat played.
Will Abada played centre forward.
Liam Shaw came off the bench. Under a year. What a change that is.
It is an incredible change. Obviously, at that point, there were still injuries to players and things that were missing, but it takes nothing away from it. It's not just who'll play, it's actually guys that'll be in the squad. I mean, their squad, you're talking about who'll play. If they make changes in the wider areas, well, you've got Jota, Abada, Maeda, Forrest, Haksabanovic that can all play. You've had Mikey Johnson that's just went out on loan. So there's so many options for Ange. I don't know if he'll change too much up with this being a game and then have a 2-week break. Plenty of time to recover. He did say he was maybe going to do it last week. For me, I would just keep going. I think you said it earlier, just put the foot down. One more game before a good break.
Tony's a Celtic fan in Johnston. What jumps out for you this week, Tony?
Hi there, how you doing, panel?
Yeah, good, thank you.
I'm just want to go back to, I think it was maybe about half an hour ago, 40 minutes ago, you were talking about Greg Taylor. And I'm just want to try and get your opinion. I'm actually probably one of Greg Taylor's biggest fans, and I have been since he came to Celtic, and I think he was a wee bit done over unfairly when he first came to the club, and then when Laxalt signed under Neil Lennon in the sort of 10 in a row season. I feel that defensively, when Taylor was playing before Laxalt came in, we were a far better unit. And then when Laxalt came, Taylor got dropped, and kind of Celtic defensively were a wee bit all over the place. So I just want to get the panel's opinion on that. And secondly, I want to say I don't think that it's any surprise how well Greg Taylor is now playing at Celtic. Just that it's under Ange Postecoglou, who's probably gave him that wee hand around the shoulder, gave him that bit of confidence that probably every player needs at some point in their career, and to be told that they've got the ability, it's just up to themselves to go and work hard.
Is that thing you said earlier? His name's Diego, and he comes from AC Milan rather than Greg from Kilmarnock.
Greg Taylorovsky, he would have been welcome to a red carpet, but because he signs from Kilmarnock, there's a bit of, he's going to have to be decent. He's an SPFL player.
I think also replacing Kieran Tierney had implications.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Kieran Tierney
it's
was
not
the best
a great
Celtic,
position to be in, is it?
The best Celtic left back in the generation. But it's an interesting point about Ange Postecoglou, in that he's had so much praise deserved for the way he's acquired new players and brought guys from Japan and found players. Part of the job as well is making the players who are there a bit better. As Kenny will attest to, you've got to get another 10-15% out of the guys that are already there. I don't think there would be any dispute that Greg Taylor is one of those. We saw the same with Anthony Ralston. although he's now been kind of overtaken, obviously, by Juranovic. But just, as you say, putting an arm around his shoulders, getting a bit more out of them, and he's unquestionably done that with Greg Taylor, who's been a revelation this season.
Do you think the system, the very specific way that Celtic use their fullbacks, maybe just particularly suits them? You know, you think of, you know, different fullbacks that have got different skill set. You look at Andy Robertson as an example. He just seems to really, really, really suit what Liverpool ask him to do. That's not to say he's not obviously, you know, a good player, but when you're asked to do something specific and it can just play to your strengths,
I think he's what he is. Also, he's playing in a team full of really, really good players. That always helps. Mm-hmm. But he's had to adapt, like a lot of players have at Celtic, adapt to the demands of how Ange wants to play, how he wants to train. And he's one that, absolutely, Stephen's right, when Brendan Rodgers came in, he took players up to a different level. Again, Scott Brown went up a level. Callum McGregor came through, Forrest and Tierney's. All these guys went up. They improved them so much. And Ange's doing the same. He's taking these guys up a level. Greg's playing in some incredible football now. And again, he's playing against one of the best teams in the world last week. Again, it's not just, I mean, to say he never looked out of place is doing him a disservice. He was absolutely excellent. And he has been now for probably last season and the start of this season. He's been, and it looks like he's standing up to the challenge, which is what you need to do. When they bring players in, and this is where fans, pundits, whatever, would be forgiven to think, oh, Bernabeu will just play, because of the amount of money that's been outlaid on him. You wouldn't expect that guy to, again, to be playing second fiddle from a guy for Kilmarnock. Again, and that's just us. That's us being looking at it for the outside looking in, because they've maybe identified that position as an area they needed to strengthen. But what he's done is, he's rose to the challenge. He's thought, I've got the jersey at the moment and I'm not willing to let this up. I'm enjoying my football too much. I feel him playing, I feel him developing. I'm not giving this fight up easily.
Kenny,
I want to hold on to my jersey.
You must have seen guys, Celtic and Rangers, who when they're facing a challenge, maybe a wee bit of confidence crisis, go into their shell.
Go under, Stephen. I've seen guys go under, and there'll be so many. A new manager comes in, oh, doesn't like me, I'm not playing, that's it, I want to leave. I've seen it so many times, and I've heard about it even recently, that's if that's your mindset, then you're at the wrong clubs. Mm-hmm. Because they're constantly looking to bring players in. That's why we say recruitment is massive. Every summer there'll be areas that both Celtic and Rangers will look to a pinpoint that they need to improve on. So if you're a guy in that position, then you need to show, well, I'm like Greg Taylor's done, I'm not giving my jersey up, I'm playing in this team, and you're going to have to be very, very good to take my jersey. And at the moment, it's not happened yet for him.
Thank you, Tony. Nice to speak to you tonight. Have a good weekend. That was Tony in Johnston. Let's bring Laurie into the conversation. Laurie, how are you?
Hi, how you doing, Robin? Haven't spoke to yourselves. I've not been on for a few years. In fact, I remember back, it was Jerry I last spoke to in the show. Believe that?
Aye, well, listen, some people get the name mixed up every now and then anyway, so that's not a problem. Laurie, what have you got for us then? What made you call in tonight?
I've got 2 points, but I'm going to go from a major point first because of the time. Listening to Ange Postecoglou talking earlier in his press conference and saying that they're building up to something, but he thought he would hang off until after the international break. And it brings me to a point that I've been thinking of as, I've been wondering, with these last couple of games where they've struggled to get the goals, you know, they've dominated Real in the first half of the game, they've dominated that game the other night for most of the half of the first half and all of the second half, but they're not putting the ball in the net, and it's surprising for this team. And I'm wondering if what he's building up to is something like putting Giakoumakis in as number 10 and Kyogo as the up front striker. And I'm just wondering what yourself and the panel think, if he did that, first of all, if that's not what he's thinking of, well, what could he be thinking of? And the other thing,
Laurie, I know what you're saying about Real Madrid, but surely the Celtic team's not struggling to score goals.
No, but we're in a new level, and maybe he's thinking about, well, what do I do when I'm in this new level to break this impasse? And I'm just wondering, what is it he's talking about that he's building up to? Because he's got a certain way he plays, and the team's very mobile, and it's I'm struggling to think of what a new format would be, but I have thought about in the past when Martin O'Neill ran the team and he had Chris Sutton up front as the stick man, and we had Larson feeding off of that. And I'm just wondering if he's thinking of going back to maybe that kind of semi-traditional approach of having that type of play.
Well, listen, I'm all for everyone wanting to take their team to a different level and improve, Kenny, but the thing about Real Madrid, it was just chances missed, was it not, rather than needing to change the way they attack?
Well, there's Andrew's not alluded to any change in the way he's going to approach any game. Against Real Madrid, chances that I can think of, Abada, Giacomacchi should have turned and shot early. Again, that's player decisions. Cal McGregor hits the post and Maeda should score, right? That's, we'll say three chances because Cal McGregor's done pretty much everything right. That's three chances. See, when you're playing domestically, you're getting 13, 20. So the difference is at this level, when you get these moments, you have to take those chances. And that what was highlighted against Real Madrid in particular, and Shakhtar to an extent the other night as well. But there's one thing I'm going to say. I'm going to do a Hugh Keevans thing here, and I'm going to put my neck absolutely on the line.
Certain people you should never drum
roll. Marcus will not play as a number 10 for Celtic. There's no way he's playing number 10 for Celtic. If they're changing that type of player, you've got Turnbulls that can come into that kind of role. And Ange's not going to change. He's not going to change the kind of format of the team. There's no way. He said himself he won't. So whatever he was alluding to in something big, building towards something, I said, I'm annex on the line. It's not going to be Giacomacchi as the number 10.
I get Laurie says different level. It's Champions League. But I have to tell you, the look on producer Callum's face at the thought of Celtic trying to find a way to score more goals, when as a Dundee United fan, he's still getting over the 9-0.
It was a priceless moment at Tannadice after the 9-0, where Kyogo came up the stairs to speak to the journalists. And after the translator was finished, he translated his answer as saying, we need to be more clinical. We just scored 9 goals.
Lost in translation, I think.
Well,
maybe.
Possibly. But I mean, I think to Laurie's point, I think if there's one thing we've ascertained from Ange Postecoglou, is that he's not a man for turning. He's not going to change the way his team plays. And to be honest, looking at it, Kenny was pointing there to the goal difference, 25-4, one against in 6 games. There's no reason to change it.
Yeah, well, that's it. There is no... I think what he was looking for is maybe those players to take their game to a different level.
Yeah.
That's what, when he's talking about that, because he's not going to change the system. He's 100% not going to change the style. And when he does look to maybe make little tweaks within games, or even if he's looking at rotation, he's now recruited a squad to then throw fresh legs in, or different ideas or different abilities into the mix. So I can't just see him going down that a road as drastic as that.
Laurie, you'll have to agree to disagree. It was nice to have you back on, though. Don't be a stranger for so long. Next time we'll speak to you soon. 01419511025. What about the full time teaser? Looking for the last player to be sent off for each team in the Premiership, in league games. Morelos, Porteous, Declan Gallagher.
Cammy Devlin?
Nope.
Ricky Lammy.
Yes, for Motherwell against Livy.
Sibic.
For Hearts against Celtic. Well done.
Oh, nice one. Charlie Mulgrew, no?
Nope.
Callaghan.
Yes. Oh. Against Kilmarnock.
Taylor Kilmarnock.
By the way, what this guy, this knowledge is outstanding. Taylor.
He's been on the Google.
Kilmarnock against Hibs.
3 weeks ago, I was.
We'll get the rest of the answers next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stephen McGowan and Kenny Miller are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time though. If you want to put them on the spot about something, please do. 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. They're also answering this teaser by Stephen McCara tonight, and he emailed that over to me, fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the last player to be sent off for every team in the league, in league matches? So like Rangers is Morelos, Hibs is Porteous, St Mirren Declan Gallagher, Motherwell Ricky Lammy, Toby Sibic of Hearts against Celtic, Callaghan of Ross County, Ash Taylor, Kilmarnock. Will take one more guess at the moment each, sure.
Hearts, Dundee United.
Well done. That was a silly one, wasn't it? Costum at the start of the season.
I'm going to shamelessly pinch near Beaton.
I heard you talking about that during the break. It is near Beaton. I know you thought it was Carl Starfelt. It was about 3 weeks between them, I think. Maybe 4 weeks. So it is near Beaton. Right, we'll get the other one or two before the end of the show. We've given Rangers Dundee United a good go for tomorrow. Just to round that one off, Kenny, all this supposed crisis or whatever it is that some fans have been calling up with, and some of the drama and frustration and anger around, think all of that, not all of it, sorry, I think that'll be partly brushed aside with a, a routine win tomorrow?
I used the word routine earlier. Listen, it won't be, because Dundee United will come and they'll make it hard for Rangers, but I would expect a win, because you say crisis. Well, crisis sometimes can be a draw, a home draw in the league.
Let's be honest, that would be tomorrow, wouldn't it?
I think so.
It's the way it would be received.
A home draw tomorrow in isolation.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Absolutely. Yeah. But off the back of this, then, it'll be carnage. It would be absolutely carnage. And Stephen's right, the longer I'm going to be doing Liam's Fox team talks, I'm sure I'll be saying it, keeping it tight, get it early, get the crowd on the back. This is what you do when you go to Ibrox and Celtic Park. You need to get these fans turning, because they're a massive advantage when the team's in full flow, scoring goals, and they get a heady steam up and get ahead of you. But it can go the opposite way as well. Players that have just been maybe toiling for a wee bit of form, maybe been getting a wee bit of criticism lately off the back of the last three results, now might not be fully at it if things are not going too well after 15-20 minutes. But yes, I would expect Rangers to get back to winning ways tomorrow.
Really good fixture list tomorrow. You know, Hibs Aberdeen, Stephen, it should be one of these fixtures that both sides can lay down a marker to be pushing for third and fourth and European places. At the moment, that's certainly Aberdeen. They look like they could do that. If Hibs are going to do that this season, they'll need to find a bit of an improvement from somewhere. Is that fair?
Well, I mean, Aberdeen are 3 points off Rangers, so I mean, they were probably disappointed that game went off last weekend, because home to Rangers, a win would have taken them joint second, won 13 points. Hibs, just not sure it's happening for Lee Johnson, not seeing it. You know, he's a manager, I think, who has a few problems just now. He really needs Martin Boyle to put the Superman cape on again.
They did get that win they needed it, didn't they, last time out against Kilmarnock?
Yeah.
He's had his emergency surgery, of course. Is he back now after missed that game, didn't he?
I just really like the look of Aberdeen, what I'm seeing. I know a couple of their big wins have been against 10 men, but I think, again, they've signed quite well. Signed a lot of players, obviously, but look as if they're going to be a different proposition this season.
I mean, Hibs managed to rescue a draw out of the derby. He managed to rescue a draw against Rangers. But, you know, it's the bits in between. It's the Livingston defeat and the St Mirren defeat and some of the other performances that are contributing to.
I think it is performance. It's not necessarily wholly results. I mean, eight points have got there. Well, 3 points were gained on the opening day of the season when St Johnstone went down to 10 men. That's another answer to the question, by the way, coming up. That St Johnstone went down to 10 men that
day. He's a red card specialist.
And they nicked a win in the last minute that day. You know, so it got the season off to a good start. But the performances, and I've seen them a few times, and I'm still trying to work out kind of where they're going. They can turn it around, there's no doubt. It's still really, really early in Lee Johnson's time as the Hibs manager, and he'll be working tirelessly, obviously, not just improve results, but improve the performances as well, because managers want to see their team play in a certain way. And I think Lee's been brought to Hibs for that. It's not just to grind away and get results, it's to play a certain way. So it's still really early in that, but yeah, it's a big game.
And if it doesn't work out at Hibs, it's another one of these teams you look at the bigger picture and say, you can't always blame the manager. At some point, you have to look at the people who appoint the managers. And Ron Gordon, with his son as head of recruitment, you know, Ron Gordon's a nice, amiable guy, seems to be popular, but it's not been particularly impressive so far. You know, for a guy who's really keen to tell Scottish football how he should change his business via Deloitte. So, yeah, big questions at Hibs.
I once had the pleasure of interviewing him via Zoom, as many things were, and obviously when popped up in the screen, and I went to ask the first question, and he's quite a larger-than-life character, and he went, "Oh, look, great." And I won't try and do his accent. It's Gordon Grilling Gordon. And I just thought, I just don't know what to say in response to that. He just got a smile and nod. And then, of course, it's Zoom. So everything's much more awkward. Yeah. And it's like the connection's going, I tried to forget about it. Don't even know why I brought it up, to be quite frank with you. Other games tomorrow. Don't know, the AstroTurf Derby, Livy Kilmarnock. Yeah. Marvin Bartley watch to see if he does anything outrageous that we need to pull him up for. That following week. So Livy, you just can never really write them off. Kilmarnock, obviously not a brilliant start results wise, but managing to pick up some points recently. St Johnson, Ross County, a fascinating one in its own right. On to Sunday as well, because, you know, we're mentioning St Mirren Celtic quite a lot. Is this a real test of hearts, Kenny? We always talk about Celtic and Rangers and how they can juggle Europe domestic, but for teams like Hearts, it should be much harder. Although they have put a lot of effort into getting that squad bigger this season, haven't they?
They've put a lot of effort in recruitment, and I was going through their squad last week, I think it was, mm-hmm. or was it the week before they actually got into the Europa Conference? And I was up at 25, 26 players. Mm-hmm. The problem for Hearts is now they've got some really, a lot of injuries, but a couple of injuries to really, really key players. Mm-hmm. So they are no, they've not got that kind of like for like kind of quality to, yeah. To replace these guys. I think they tried to obviously replace Liam Boyce just before the end yeah. of the transfer window, but losing Halkett again last night yeah. is a big loss. So yeah, listen, they want European football. When they start out this season, they want to get European football again, so you need to find a way to manage it, because the bottom line is you're going to have a lot more games.
For a bit of balance, Stephen, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, and Boyce, Halkett, you know, massive losses, but still, if you go through the bench from last night, right, so Lewis Nielsen comes on, so you know he's more than capable of then playing against Motherwell on Sunday. Nathaniel Atkinson, unused sub, plays loads, just called up to the Australia team. Toby Sibbick plays a lot. Peter Haring plays a lot. Gary Mackay-Steven, Alan Forrest, and the new signing Humphreys, they were all on the bench.
Yeah.
And they are regular first team players, so conceivably they can all come in.
Yeah, you've not even mentioned Josh Cirelli or Gary Mackay-Steven. Yeah, they've got depth. You said Toby Sibbick has played, and I think that's been one of our big problems is I thought Lewis Nielsen was impressive when he came on last night. Touched the John Souter about him. Barry Mackay plays as if he's wearing slippers. He's just a terrific player, really.
What about his turn?
It's just a joy to watch, you know. And I thought he was terrific last night. And when you've got players of that caliber, I think, as Kerry says, Boyce. When I saw Halkett going off last night, I feared for him. But Nielsen really gave them hope. They've been playing fullbacks in central defence recently, haven't they?
Yep.
Which hasn't helped
Andy
them.
Andy Halliday plays everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre. Do you think Barry Mackay, Kenny, careful not to upset any Hearts fans listening, I think he's got another upward move in him? Can he kick on again and go look at the form that he's in? And I'm sorry, Hearts fans, I'm not trying to sell him on, I'm just, if anything, trying to pay tribute to how good he's been.
His ability's always been there since breaking through Rangers as a young lad, and he seemed to he's had a spell down in England for 4 or 5 seasons, but he seems to have found a really nice fit at Hearts, where he's back up home, he's playing in a position, I think, and that really, really suits him. That system really, really suits him as well. Again, he's got good players surrounding him, but he's playing at the top of his game, Barry is. So yes, he has. If he maintains that level of form, then there's no doubt there will be people looking at him, because he's putting in some really, really impressive performances. He's always a creative force in any team that he's been in. He's started well. He's got a few goals. He's adding that to his game, but he's just a constant threat.
I think Rangers should sign him back. Genuinely, I think he's been one of the top players in the Premier League. I think he would be an option. You know, whether why it went wrong for him in the first place, whether it was just money or what have you. But I mean,
he moved. It was when Mark Warburton took him down to Notts Forest.
Just quickly talking about money. Last night was worth $500,000 to Hearts. You know, it shows you the importance of being able to get to that level first of all, and then go and win some games. So if they've won away in Riga, you'd fancy them to do the same again. You're up at £1 million just for for winning matches. It's before you get around to TV money, gate receipts for all these sellout European games. Listen, to Celtic Rangers, that maybe doesn't change too much. That must be massive for Hearts.
It'll be the biggest turnover in Hearts history this season, this year. It will. It'll be the biggest revenue they've ever brought in. That's a big deal. It's a power of group stage football. It allows them to invest in their squad. It allows them to get better. As I go back to the point I made earlier, it's been a real bugbear of mine that Hearts and Hibs and Aberdeen have kind of fallen down in the qualifying rounds of Europe. Well, okay, partly because of what Rangers did in particular in Celtic in Europe, Hearts got into the group stages, but they've got to take advantage of their good fortune, make it work.
Right, you're almost there, so you're looking for a couple more. Who are the last player to be sent off for each team in the Premiership? You've got most of them. You've still got Livy, St Johnstone,
Aberdeen.
And Aberdeen.
Well, I talked one earlier about the St Johnstone, Murray Davidson.
Yeah, it was Murray Davidson. Well done.
And Fitzwater for Livingston.
I don't know why I'm finding this so impressive. I can't explain.
I'm gobsmacked.
I've done my work on this question before. Not that I knew the question, but I always kind of have a wee look at red cards and goal scorers and assists.
Go on then, put us out of misery one more.
Well, this was a guess, I never knew this one, but I just went for the favourite, McCrory.
Aberdeen, Ross McCrory, yes. Super. What outstanding knowledge of disciplinary issues this season. We've found your specialist subject. It's taken us a few months, right enough.
Yeah. We found out the SFA's. Beat the pundit.
We found the SFA's next compliance officer.
I was going to say, there's a vacancy.
I need a job by there, badly.
Right, get the offers in, please. Thank you, Kenny Miller and Stephen McGowan. We are back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Big games tomorrow afternoon. Loads to look forward to on Sunday. Is it the return of the Emperor of Rome tomorrow, Hugh Evans? He's back from his travels. I can't wait to hear all about it. We'll speak to him at 2 o'clock tomorrow. GBX Anthem's up next.